The word lip service is a very illustrative term, phrase about false virtue, about one of the principal sins, you might say, that all of us who claim to be followers of Christ can fall into. We know that everything in our spiritual life, everything that belongs to our progress towards God, everything that belongs to the worship of God, begins with faith. With our credo, I believe. It's our personal conviction, our personal assent to God, our personal consent to do His will begins with our saying yes to what He tells us. St. Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews, he says that it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the fundamental reason for that is because we can't serve Him, we can't follow Him, we can't do His will unless we believe that He is telling us the truth. And of course, that is true always. We can't have faith, we can't, you know, have a real relationship with someone that goes forward and is committed unless it's based on truth. So this is fundamental, you know, professing the truth, saying yes to the truth, being convicted by the truth. And while among the Pharisees and Sadducees, many of them had false ideas about the faith, like the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, things like that. For the most part, the people, the men of the law, were not heretics. Like, they weren't separated from God by not believing the right thing. And even beyond that, they did, for the most part, all the right things. You know, they observed, they fasted, they prayed. And yet, our Lord looked into their hearts. He saw their faith. And He saw their good works. He saw their fasting and their prayer and their observance of all the minutiae of the old law. And He still called it lip service. You say all the right things. It looks good, but it's just lip service. Elsewhere, our Lord said things to the Pharisees like, comparing them to whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones, monuments that look beautiful, that are attractive and impressive, and yet inside it's full of rottenness. So our Lord's, I don't know what the Greek is here, but the translation is classic. You know, it's a classic way of describing this problem, lip service. We say what is right, we believe what is right, sometimes we even do what is right, and yet the motivation to serve God is not there. And that was the real problem with the Pharisees. Their motivation was not to serve God. Their motivation was to serve themselves. They were eager, as our Lord said elsewhere in the Gospel, to take the first place at the tables that were set for them, and to be called rabbi, to be called teacher. They made their phylacteries, which were their, you know, the symbol of their observance, very broad so that everybody could see it. They made sure they looked dirty and disheveled when they were fasting so that everybody would know that they were fasting. And our Lord saw through it. He said, no, it's not real. It's not the real thing. You don't mean it. It's not about the worship of God. It's not about the service of your fellow man. It's about you. And that was their call to conversion. When our Lord said things like that to them, when he said, you know, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. And that was, in the end, why they rejected our Lord. He was a threat to their power structure. He was a threat to their primacy in the eyes of the people. He was a threat to their image. And so they rejected our Lord. Specifically, though, today our Lord speaks about this issue of purification, the external purifications of washing hands and kettles and cups and things like that, so as not to become undefiled. One of the major aspects of the cult, the religious external worship of the Jews, was this idea of ritual cleanliness, ritual purity, or ritual uncleanliness or defilement. They had to be ritually clean in order to be included among the people, to be included in the worship of Yahweh, to be able to approach the temple or the sacrifice. And there were many ways in which they could become unclean. And the rules regarding ritual cleanliness were established by God through Moses as a way of separating, making it clear to the people that they needed to be separated from what was unclean. And while their religious practice had to do with, you know, making sure their hands were clean and their utensils were clean and they didn't touch unclean food, you know, like pork and all this type of stuff, the point of it was to train them to recognize what is godly from what is ungodly. And it was an external observance that pointed upward, something earthly that pointed up towards heaven, pointed up towards a higher reality. And the higher reality, of course, was the uncleanness of sin and the cleanness of God, and that we had to remain free of all that was contrary to God in order to remain in His grace. And that's why when our Lord finally came and fulfilled all of these things, our Lord was trying to train them that these other observances that had these ritual significances were no longer necessary. And that was part of the problem. On the one hand, the Pharisees were doing all the ritual cleanliness things, but they didn't have that cleanness of heart. It wasn't because they were doing it to achieve purity of heart. They were doing it just to be on the right side and to be acknowledged as being on the right side. That was the one problem. And the other problem is they were not willing to recognize the greater significance. They were not willing to accept Christ when He came and to have their ideas transformed, so they remained clinging to these things that our Lord was doing away with. And they complained that our Lord's disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate their meals. They didn't go through all of the ritual cleanliness in order to be pleasing to God. And the Pharisees, of course, didn't like it. So that was the specific thing that our Lord was dealing with in today's gospel. And then he makes this very interesting comment when he turns away from the Pharisees and turns towards the rest of the crowd. And he says, hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come from within are what defile. And his point here was not as some might think, to deny the fact that there are things on the outside that do enter us that can pollute our lives, such as impurity and impure images and lies, falsehood, heresy. These things do come from the outside and they enter us. But it's not these things in themselves that make us impure, because even if we try to eliminate the occasion of sin, which we should, we are still at one time or another going to be exposed. We live in the world, all of us, even religious, see things sometimes or hear things sometimes that they would rather not see or hear. And our Lord is telling us that these things cannot harm us if our hearts are right. This is, again, not an argument to be careless in respect to the occasion of sin. We have an obligation to avoid the proximate occasion of mortal sin. It's an obligation. We can commit a sin by putting ourselves in the occasion of sin. However, it's not these things that are essentially the problem. The problem is within us. We need to avoid the occasion of sin because we are weak from within. And when we fail to avoid the occasion of sin, or when otherwise we are not disposed to resist temptation and the effect that the world and the devil has on our flesh, the flesh takes over. Because the flesh is itself one of our enemies, as St. John tells us. And so it's our hearts that need to change. Our Lord says, from within people, from their hearts come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. And our Lord was saying this to the people because he was correcting the Pharisees. They look good on the outside, and they don't let any of these unclean things enter. They don't eat unclean food, and they don't eat out of unclean dishes. But they're already full of filth, because their hearts are far from God. Their hearts are far from the truth and far from the desire to be pleasing to him. And that is really what we are battling more than anything else in this world. And we have to be very, very clear about it, because in the end, we are our own worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies because we are weak. We are weak and we are inclined to sin. And finding God is an uphill battle. If we recognize that, you know, then we can truly guard ourselves against the occasion of sin. But more than that, guard ourselves against ourselves. And if we don't recognize that, if we don't recognize that we're our own worst enemy, then pride becomes a wall which even God cannot penetrate. And that, in the end, was the deepest problem of the Pharisees, is they had a wall up that our Lord could not penetrate because they would not look at the truth. Our Lord told them, your problem is that your hearts are far from God, and he does not acknowledge the righteousness of your works, no matter how much you externally observe the religion, because you don't mean it. You just don't mean it. And they wouldn't listen. And that is, they had that wall of pride that they would not allow the Lord to pull down. And they remained far from God. So in the spiritual life, you know, we should be glad when we are sort of called on the carpet in one way or another, whether it's by our parents or, you know, by our spouse in religious life, by our superiors, or just by the circumstances of daily life, when someone, for whatever reason, just takes us down a notch and we don't like it. Because if we look deep within our hearts, we all know that we could probably be a little more humble. We could gain from a bit more of humility, of accepting for the love of God, you know, the difficulties of living and dealing with other people and having a clash of opinions. This is what our Lord did You know, our Lord humbled himself for our sake. He didn't back away from the truth. In fact, what we see here today is our Lord, you know, saying what needed to be said. And yet he said it because his desire was the salvation of all men. Our hearts are what need to change more than anything else in this world. And even in the worst of, this has always been true, it's always been true, even in the worst of times, in the worst of times, the problem is always me. It's not someone else or something else or circumstances in our lives. The problem is me, because I'm the one that I can change. Other things, it's not altogether clear. And that was the real, as I say, the real thing that our Lord was trying to correct in the Pharisees, was this inability to see that they had a problem. And I don't, you know, I talk about this because it's in the gospel, and our Lord talks about it over and over and over again. And he says very clearly that the prostitutes and tax collectors will enter the kingdom of God before many of those who are observing the rule. And when he said the last will be first, the first shall be last, he was talking in reference to his own people, the people who had the law of God and its observance. The people that were coming into the church and being welcomed were those who were casting off their deeds of darkness and who up until that time had been living debauched and wicked lives. So we need to ask the Lord for humility. St. Maximilian said very succinctly and very meaningfully, ask the Blessed Mother for humility and she will give it to you. But what he meant is ask the Blessed Mother for humility and you will get humiliation. She'll answer that prayer. That's a prayer she will answer. And there's no way to market it or to package it in a way that it sells easily. It doesn't sell easily. There's no way to put lipstick on it, or it just is what it is, and it's necessary. It's necessary for everybody. And if we don't acknowledge it, then in a sense, to whatever extent, God, you know, that's between the soul and God, but to that extent, we're like the Pharisees who have that wall, who are unwilling to recognize the need to be taken down a notch or two. But if we do allow ourselves to do that in a spirit of love for our Lord, then we open ourselves up to his grace and to the gifts that he wants to give us. And in this, as always, our Lord, who is God, who's perfect, who has no reason to humble himself, gives us the example. Because he who was innocent submitted himself to wicked men in order that we might be made just. So we, as our Lord says in the gospel, as evil as you are, he said, you know, you ask God, your Father, for what you need, and he will give it to you. We should ask him for what we need, which is the grace of humility and the grace to see within our hearts and to do everything that we can to change our lives. So we are called to penance. We are called also to union with our Lord, and we are called to do something more than simply give God lip service or an external observance of religion. We are called to interiorize, to make interior all the dispositions we see exemplified by our Lord and by our holy religion, and today especially by the sacred liturgy, where our Lord comes down upon the altars and humbles himself so that we might have life and have it in abundance.